Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth. Grandmother. Congratulations.
Cute little baby.
Exciting time in your life.
Pardon me?
Exciting time in your life.
Yeah. Well, lots of people coming on. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you.
We have 10 grandchildren also, and we don't have one that small anymore. Our youngest one's going to be 4.
Wow.
I can't hardly believe it. The oldest one's 14. It's hard to believe in a way, but it's a blessing.
That is true. So, well, it is on the screen. Is anybody else going to be on WebEx?
Yeah, okay, I'll get there eventually.
I hear lots of people on the call. Boing, boing, boing. So good morning, everyone. It's a gorgeous wet day in the Northwest. I don't know. We're going to have a May pretty soon. We're going to be a desert. Well, I've never seen such a long streak without very much rain. We had one sprinkle or two. It certainly makes for a pretty summer, a pretty autumn.
Yeah, I think it's been 3 months.
That's amazing.
Ruth, how was your gathering last night?
That was it was
day.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was a wonderful day.
It was awesome. I feel much more relaxed about the future of our country. So, anyway, we probably don't have 100% agreement on all that. Maybe on the call, I don't know. But everybody was very excited it was here. We had a houseful.
I'm sure. That's a lot of work for you.
It's not too bad when everybody brings potlucks. It's really not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, here are some of the people on the screen. Those people who are on the screen can already see it. We have pictures of everyone, including Nancy, who's going to lead our call today. But today, I'll let Nancy go ahead and do the welcome and everything that's right on the screen. I'm sure she did it before. So, here's Nancy from Houston.
All right. Good morning to everyone. And today we're going to talk more about how food affects our bodies, and especially one vegetable, and that is broccoli. This is by Dr. McCullough. Says mounting scientific studies have demonstrated that broccoli is one of nature's most valuable health-promoting foods. Science has proven time after time that Mother Nature is the best physician and food is the best medicine. A recent study published in the American Journal of Hypertension adds to the mounting scientific evidence about broccoli's noteworthy health benefits. The compound in broccoli, glucosinolate, it's spelled glucosinolate. Let me just tell you what that means. It's a class of organic compounds that contain sulfur and nitrogen and are derived from glucose and an amino acid. They occur as secondary metabolites of almost all plants. This compound in broccoli produces a metabolite called sulforaphane, that can significantly improve your blood pressure and kidney function, according to this latest animal study. Sulforaphane is an organic sulfur compound found in cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, horseradish, and arugula, but it's highest in the broccoli. This has been shown to, sulforaphan has been shown to have anti-diabetic and antimicrobial properties, and also kill cancer stem cells, which slows tumor growth. Researchers believe eliminating cancer stem cells is key to controlling cancer. This is something current chemotherapy cannot do, but food can. The latest research confirms broccoli's benefits go beyond cancer prevention. In this 2012 study, hypertensive rats were with repaired kidney function were given sulforaphan. The natural compound improved the rat's kidney function and lowered their blood pressure by normalizing a process called DNA methylation. Now, DNA methylation is the process by which a methyl group, which is one carbon atom attached to three hydrogen atoms, is added to part of a DNA molecule.
I'm getting a little bit lost. Maybe you can help. Okay, could you kind of tell me what you said?
Okay. Well, this is the first time I have seen this written as DNA methylation, but it is the what as they're saying it's the process by which a methyl group, which is one carbon atom attached to three hydrogen atoms, it's added to part of a DNA molecule. So this all goes back to our DNA. I did not research that particular thing other than what he's got here. But does anyone else have any ideas on this?
Okay, so you have molecules hooked up to your DNA. And the broccoli breaks that part?
I think that's going to be discussed in this next paragraph. That's what it's indicating. DNA methylation is a crucial part of normal cell function, allowing cells to remember who they are and where they have been, and is important in regulating gene expression. DNA methylation also suppresses the genes for things you don't want, such as viral and other disease-related genes. Abnormal DNA methylation plays a crucial role in the development of nearly all types of cancer. Broccoli sprouts have also been shown to inhibit H. pylori, the bacteria thought to cause gastric ulcers. It protects your heart and also may offer protection against UV radiation damage to your skin when applied topically. The sulforaphan from broccoli plays a role in activating more than 200 different genes, and you don't have to consume a truckload of broccoli to reap its benefits. A 2008 study published in PLOS, and then another word, one, found that just 4 servings of broccoli a week could protect men from prostate cancer. 1 serving of broccoli is about 2 spears, so that's only about 10 broccoli spears a week. Researchers believe hypertension and kidney dysfunction may result from a disturbance in DNA methylation, and it may just be that sulforaphan improves blood pressure and kidney function. So any food that mediates DNA methylation is very helpful toward keeping you healthy, and broccoli is one of the best. But if you hate broccoli, there are other things, so broccoli sprouts aren't the only salvation if you suffer from hypertension or kidney trouble. I think then that goes back, they don't enumerate, but I assume that goes back to the others on that list. even though broccoli was the highest. Any questions so far? Or any comments? And then hypertension is a stroke's best friend. You are generally diagnosed with pre-hypertension if your blood pressure is between 120 over 80 and 140 over 80, and anything above 140 over 80 is generally diagnosed as hypertension. It is dangerous because it typically shows no warning signs or symptoms, and in its complete silence can cause a stroke. Drugs advertised to treat hypertension will not change or in any way address the underlying cause of your hypertension. That's the bad news. And that's something that maybe most doctors don't even indicate to us. We just seem to think that they've got the answer for everything with a prescription drug. So that's good to know that we can go to these foods. The good news is that more than 85% of those who have hypertension can normalize their blood pressure with some basic lifestyle modifications. High blood pressure is typically related to your body developing resistance to insulin. As your insulin level rises, your blood pressure rises. Most physicians, even cardiologists, do not understand the crucial connection between blood pressure, blood sugar levels, and insulin. Dr. Richard Johnson, author of the book The Fat Switch, masterfully ties together the connection between hypertension, kidney disease, obesity, and diabetes. In his previous book, The Sugar Fix, which is one of the best books written on this issue, Dr. Johnson is chief of the Kidney Disease and Hypertension Division at the University of Colorado. And they do have, when I send this to Ruth, anyone who would like a copy of this, you can watch his video. It's a little lengthy, but it would have some good information. According to Dr. Johnson, there is one major factor linking all of the health problems listed above. High dietary fructose. While sugar, which is sucrose, is a major source of fructose, it may not be quite as bad as high fructose corn syrup. Americans on the whole are fructose addicts. High fructose corn syrup is added to sodas, fruit juices, and nearly all processed foods in the stores. High fructose corn syrup in soda is a major cause of calories in the typical American diet, so it's no wonder diabetes has risen to epidemic proportions. The use of high fructose corn syrup in the U.S. diet increased a staggering 10,673% between 1970 and 2005. According to a major USDA report. That is shocking, isn't it?
10,605%.
10,673% between 1970 and 2005. And when we think that's how everything increases with all of these new foods with all the additives in them. And this is causing us to really read these labels as we're doing our shopping.
You know, Nancy, I got to say, it's almost like you're telling a health history for me in a sense. I was not super obese, okay? I mean, I was overweight. But I discovered my diabetes, or it was discovered, pointed out to me, when I was in the course of trying to find out why I was suddenly forming tiny pinpoint stones in my kidneys. And I had for 2 years been talking to my doc about the relationship somehow between the sugar I was eating white sugar, and the high cholesterol. And she kept poo-pooing me. And I mean, And I couldn't, I didn't take the time on the, you know, to research it. Anyway, while investigating the kidney functioning, I found the diabetes and incidentally, my blood pressure had been for, about a year, been like 130, 135, 140 over 80, okay, that higher level, okay, which, you know, my doctor didn't seem to think there was anything wrong with it. Anyway, insulin resistance related to, I think you had a sentence just before you named him that insulin resistance was, was going on when you were having kidney things and increased blood pressure and something else. Anyway, that's, and all of those went away. All of those went away when I changed my diet.
Mm-hmm. And just by, are you saying just by a lot of deleting the sugar?
Yeah, I really deleted the sugar. I beat it back. I went from 3 teaspoons of, a mounded tablespoon of white sugar in 10 ounces of coffee. Okay, I went from that to no sugar in it, you know, but it was a real, it was a battle. It took maybe 3 weeks, you know, to beat it back. I was consuming 5 pounds of sugar a month when I went, I was living on it. I didn't know I was living on it. Anyway, I just, this, whatever this article is that you're reading from is right on for my particular history and how that's related.
Well,
and of course, and this is a, and I used to crave broccoli. I mean, crave it, you know, which is also interesting. You know, because, you know, obviously I was having some difficulty with methylation, whatever that is, that I'm going to discover by watching all of this.
Well, and as I sit in restaurants and notice people, if they don't have the sugar packets on the table, if it's the jar of sugar,
yeah,
they pour and pour. It's like it just takes you
a long time. Oh, yeah, that was one of those. And, you know, and I remember as the sugar crept up, and it crept up over about a year. You know, I used to just be, you know, around a teaspoon, right? And I was kind of living on coffee, which wasn't, regularly. Okay, what does that mean? 8 cups a day, 12 cups a day. Okay. I had a high stress job. I, you know, I was working 72 hours a week and all that kind of stuff. But anyway,
That statistic is no major surprise, considering that in addition to soda and sweetened beverages, processed foods account for more than 90% of the money Americans spend on their meals. Unlike glucose, which is burned by fuel in every cell in our body, fructose is not immediately consumed as fuel. It is metabolized into fat by your liver, which can set the ball rolling toward insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. He highly recommends getting a fasting insulin level test. The level you want to strive for is about 2 or 3. If it's above 5, then you have a problem, and you definitely need to get your insulin level down, as you are at risk for cardiovascular problems. Now, next we're going into fructose.
Well, just a second. I don't understand what you're saying. I've never heard of a level 2 or 3. Is that an insulin level versus a blood sugar level?
I've never had a fasting insulin level test done, but would those be the numbers that they give? Are they?
This is the first I've ever heard of an insulin level test.
I don't know. So is that when they tell you to get a fasting blood sugar?
Fasting blood sugars are, you know, should be under 100. So 2 or 3, this is a different thing.
Oh.
As a And that's that blood test that covers over 3 months or something? Maybe longer?
Nope.
An A1C, but Ruth's talking about being over, they would do a blood test to check what your overall averages have been over the last 90 days. But usually that runs in, it runs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, so forth up. But usually at 6 you're considered, and each laboratory is a little different, not that much, who basically checks your blood, but they figure 6 and below to be good. Actually considered to be a non-diabetic. Of course, the lower that figure is, the better. But, man, I would think a 2 would be...
I've never heard of that. Never heard of that low.
Yeah, that
never.
Not low. That would...
That would be hypoglycemic. That would be your brain not getting enough sugar. That would be...
Yeah, Nancy, what is the newsletter that you're taking this from, the date and the year?
Oh, you know, I'm going by I made a copy, so I took that part off. I think it was September 23rd, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. But Ruth can send this out to you. I'll send her the whole link with the date on it.
Okay. Thank you.
And so, Monty, are you saying that actually this fasting insulin level is probably what they refer to as an A1C?
No, well, the fasting level basically means, and Joan, you correct me here, is that you go to bed at night, you don't eat anything, and then you go to the doctor, and you have your blood level sugars tested prior to eat 6 to 8 to sometimes even 12 hours prior to eating food. That is usually what is considered your fasting glucose level. But
yeah,
it doesn't come in a point. It comes the 1, 2, or 3. It comes like... You know, like Joan said, 90 or 120 or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Very quick. Your blood cells, your red blood cells, have sugar attached to them, and it gets carried to your cells, and your cells are supposed to accept it. And your blood sugar, your blood cells die. Every single one of them die every 3 months. But they don't all die at once. They die in order of having been made, given birth, okay? And so every 3 months, you totally change over your blood cells. When you get an A1C, you are testing how much sugar is hanging on to your blood cells. That means how much sugar is not getting into your other cells, okay? And so that A1C is a 3 month average of your blood sugar, the sugar in your blood, the sugar hanging onto your blood cells. Okay, stuck onto your blood cells because no other cell will open its mouth and eat it. Okay? You make insulin to push the sugar into your cells. If your cells are insulin resistant, if they've got their mouth clamped down, the higher the insulin in your body, the greater the pressure on their mouth. It's like getting a kid to eat. Okay? Now, blood sugar, the stick that you use, the one where you want to be under 100 when you wake up in the morning, okay, that measures is a direct measure of the particular sugars in the blood that comes out on your finger. Okay, peripheral blood that comes out on your finger. It's not an average. It won't tell you how you've been, you know, doing over the last 3 months. It'll, you know, it's a fluke of which blood cells come out, you know. It doesn't take an average. Okay, so one has a scale. If it's under 100 fasting, you know, it's, you know, minimally acceptable. If you had an average blood sugar of 100 all day and all night and all day and all night, be great, and your A1C would be, there's a little formula for it, would be 5.7, I think, or 5.7, I can't remember, but under 6, be under 6, and that's where the under 6 comes. But I have never heard of anybody even reporting a blood sugar level of 2 or 3 as an A1C. So, I mean, maybe it's right. You know, maybe this is the standards in Europe. I know that America standards are way too high, tolerance of blood pressure and blood sugar and all kinds of stuff. So, did that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. There's just a little more here, and then next week I can go into the tips for achieving healthy blood pressure without drugs. Okay, so the fructose-insulin connection. What is the link between fructose and blood pressure? Fructose in the diet raises your blood pressure in three key ways. When the liver breaks down fructose, uric acid is produced as a byproduct. Uric acid also drives up your blood pressure by inhibiting nitric oxide in your blood vessels. Nitric oxide helps your blood vessels maintain their elasticity. When you consume large amounts of fructose, increasing uric acid levels drive up your blood pressure. If your uric acid levels are chronically elevated, you have an increased risk for hypertension, kidney disease, metabolic syndrome, and diabetes. Large amounts of fructose also place a great strain on your liver, which is responsible for most of the metabolic burden. As metabolic physician and nutritionist expert Dr. Ron Rosedale has explained, insulin stores magnesium. If your insulin receptors are blunted and your cells grow resistant to insulin, you cannot store magnesium. So it passes out of your body through urine. Magnesium relaxes muscles, so when your magnesium level is low, your blood vessels will constrict rather than relax, which further raises your blood pressure. Thirdly, insulin causes your body to retain sodium, which in turn causes fluid retention. Fluid retention results in elevated blood pressure and can ultimately lead to congestive heart failure. Did someone want to say something?
Well, I've got to really research this article because this is the story. I mean, I would have days in which I would have where you have socks on and they make a line on your leg. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Inflammation. I mean, for 2 or 3 days apropos of who knew what, you know, I would have inflammation on my legs. You know, not where, you know, the doctor says, oh my gosh, you know, your ankles are swollen. But I could see the difference. I could see the difference, you know, and I could see that line, you know, and I I think this is a great article. I don't know where you're reading this from, but this is really nailing everything. Remember I told you before when they did a CT scan for my kidneys, the guy was so knocked out that read the scan, he said, fatty liver, gone. You know, remember they said I had a fatty liver? Remember the glucose gets stored, the sugar gets stored in your liver? I don't drink alcohol. I don't, you know, only alcoholics have fatty livers. You know, I mean, that's what I thought. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, Karen.
Just by cutting back, and you achieved that just by cutting back on the sugar?
Oh no, no, no! I changed my diet. Okay, number one, yes. Out all processed stuff. I mean, as much as I could throw away or give away, or the food banks and blah blah blah, and you know, serious fighting down to zero on the white sugar in my whatever. And of course, no. And then at the same time juicing, flooding with nutrition. And adding the green drink, okay, which I just did, and I'm eating vegetables. I'm drinking vegetable juices. I'm not doing bad stuff, and it took. Well, I noticed a difference within 2 weeks, and And of course, my blood sugar just went like, it was 385, okay, when they discovered it, right? She thought I was cheating on my blood sugar fasting or whatever, you know, like I ate before I went in or something. Like, who would do that? And, okay, so my blood sugar went, you know, the next day, 280, the next day, 260, the next day, 195, the next day. I mean, that's what happened. It immediately, my body immediately responded to the food and nutrition. And I took my vitamins more faithfully. I'm kind of bad on pills. I'm just really bad. I'm worse than the person that can't keep a diary. I mean, I'm bad. I do it for a while, and then I, you know, like, don't. But at any rate, yes, that's exactly it.
I'll just mention real quick, when I put my mom on green smoothie, she was running around 400 to 500 in the mornings, and within 2 or 3 days of being on a pint of green smoothie every day, she dropped over 200 points in her blood sugars, and we finally got them down into the high 180s or something like that after a month or two. But it was amazing.
Let me ask him, while he's still on, what did the green smoothie contain? Was that the
didn't do anything with the green grimes or that. Just we just had an app. Like I'd make 2 quarts. It would be like 20 ounces of water, pine nut water, and an apple, some kale, spinach, maybe some plums, maybe a peach. Just a lot of vegetables, though. Didn't do too much fruit.
Okay. Adonna?
I was going to say, most diabetics are usually low on magnesium, so that makes sense, what you're saying.
Right. Doesn't store magnesium.
Right.
And that goes back to that book I've mentioned before, The Miracle of Magnesium. That would be a wonderful book for everyone to read.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say the reason I use the green drink, I knew Lorraine Day personally. I haven't kept up a friendship, but she has a green drink. Okay, it's juicing. It's lettuce, green apple, a wedge of green pepper and some cabbage leaves, okay, and it's a tedious thing to juice, okay, and a higher functioning, and she herself, a higher functioning, easier substitute for that comes from the barley grass that Nikon is putting out now, okay, and Lorraine Day, that's the woman who, orthopedic surgeon, had breast cancer, documented with videos, not giving radiation or chemotherapy, and her cure from breast cancer back in the 80s, okay? And it's just, you know, done. I mean, a lot of other wonderful things happen. She used to wear glasses. She doesn't wear glasses anymore. But at any rate, romaine lettuce, I'm sorry. So romaine lettuce, green apple, that's the heart of it. Romaine lettuce, green apple, and some green pepper, and couple of cabbage things, and it's just so much easier. And barley is the most complete barley grass that has been harvested the way Nikon harvests it at 7 or 8 inches long. Okay, it's a adolescent barley grass, and the way that it's powdered so that air doesn't get into destroy the enzymes is just an easy and probably. Probably more nutritious, unless you stand right in front of a juicer, juice it, and put it right in your mouth, and don't let any air get to it, and don't use a centrifugal juicer. At any rate, so I just think, you know, you get more bang for your bucks and time, you know, with that green drink. That's okay, that's my argument.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she had quite a story. I don't know if any of you were aware of her cancer, but she is cancer-free from using the barley green way back in the 80s. All right. Anyone else have anything else at this point before I finish another couple of paragraphs? If your blood pressure is elevated and you consume a lot of sugar, especially in the form of fructose, such as high fructose corn syrup, lowering your blood pressure might be as simple as cutting all forms of sugar and grains out of your diet. Normalizing your blood glucose levels will normalize your insulin and bring those blood pressures down into the healthy range. He strongly advises keeping your total fructose consumption below 25 grams a day, or as low as 15 grams if you have high blood pressure, or if you're overweight or a diabetic. The fructose in whole fruits is generally healthy unless you consume large amounts and or in the form of fruit juices or dried fruits. Still, if you have any of the health issues just mentioned and you're consuming large amounts of fruit, you would be wise to restrict your fruit intake to under 15 grams of fructose a day as well until your condition has normalized. And that's all I've got today. Any other comments?
I'm sorry. I just have to add, one of the things, since I was starting to have like sand, passing sand, these tiny, tiny, tiny calcium or whatever, you know, probably magnesium stones, okay? I mean, no pain, you know, just aware of it. I started drinking, and this is just before my blood sugar problem blew up, I started drinking fruit juices because, you know, I knew how to clean out my kidneys, right? Just lots of fluid. So I drank lots of water and lots of fruit juice. What do I mean, lots? This is Joan, who does everything in extreme, probably a gallon of store-bought juices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Packed with fructose. Packed. And that's probably what made it go into a crisis.
I've always heard, too, that the dry fruit, but you just mentioned the dry fruit, Nancy, and I've always, I don't know where it ever came from, but I always heard that the dried fruit was higher in sugar as well. And you just mentioned that, too, didn't you?
Yes, but they're talking about extreme amounts.
Like Joan. Somebody goes on a juice diet, right? Somebody goes on a juice diet and gets diabetes.
And all right. Well,
I remember when my mother did a juice diet, so maybe that's when her diabetes started too, Joan. That's interesting. A doctor put her on a juice diet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you can stop it. You can stop it. Listen, everybody, Monty, let's come on. We got to get these guys.
Yeah, I know.
No one has to have it.
Should you and I team up on this whole crew?
I know. I'm going to spank them out. I'm going to line them up. I'm going to put them, I'm going to take them off into the woods and feed them for a week, and then they'll see.
What a team we make.
I know that we can stop it, but you can't, an 88-year young woman who won't try. So.
Well, just tell her, look, Mom, you can do it now or in 10 years when you're in assisted living and you can't get up and cook your own food and they only feed you this, you can do it then. Now, when do you want to do it, Mom? You want to do it in the nursing home? Sorry.
Yeah, and if you're in the nursing home, they just feed you crap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that whole point is to keep you down so, and, you know, and they can hardly wait till they get you out of Foley so they don't have to lift you up out of bed.
All right, and this was from the, Monty, yes, this is September 23rd newsletter from Dr. Mercola, so we'll make that available.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome, and have a good rest of the week, and we'll hear from Monty tomorrow.
Yeah.
And next week we'll work on how we can do this naturally, keep a healthy blood pressure.
Okay, so we're all going out, and we're going to get organic broccoli. Organic broccoli, and we're going to eat it.
Well, and the more I think about it, if we put it into these smoothies, then we can get a little bit more instead of having to eat it.
Right, and, you know, I've never juiced it, okay? I've never juiced it, and I will juice one stalk and see how, you know, good it is.
That's a pretty strong flavor. And remember, they always recommend you cook it a little bit. And I've always been eating it raw, so the other day I got a bunch of broccoli and cooked it a little bit, which is what Dennis likes the best anyway, so.
Yes. Yes. Green apple. Green apples in... what? Yes,
no,
yes, ma'am.
Can you send the two or three lists of juicers that you recommended before? Just send it to me. I'll send it out to everybody.
Okay, sure, sure. But honest to goodness, guys, well, yeah, I will send it out because there's nothing that's good to put those into your diet, but I just really want to underscore again the use of barley greens, okay? And I don't know if you've ever juiced barley, but you just really, it's so labor-intensive, and everybody is so not in their kitchens, okay? I mean, they're not even juicing. People aren't even juicing. You know, they can't get out there and get a $25 juicer, even if it's a crappy $25 one. At any rate, taking that barley green, which Lorraine Day, and I'll send that to you, Ruth, and you can send it out, but which Lorraine Day moved over to, it was after the cancer was dealt with, but she moved over to that. But I will send what goes into it, yeah.
Joan, did you know, and other people, in the J. Green Farms, it also contains that pearl barley, and that's supposed to help, can't make medical claims, but that's what's supposed to help with cancer to get rid of it, is also that pearl barley that's in the J. Green Farms.
Right. Here is the point. This is Joan, right, in her three sentences, okay? You need to flood, not just feed, flood your body with nutrition, non-toxic nutrition, okay? That's the organic juices. And you need to detox all your fat cells that have been storing up all this stuff for 20, 30, 40 years, okay? And you need to detox. You need to do both of those. You need to do both of those. Did you hear me? You need to do both of those.
I did.
And we know why, right? Because we have a three-word sentence we've memorized. Toxins inhibit enzymes. Enzymes are what you put in your mouth, what you pay $25 a bottle for every month. Toxins inhibit those enzymes from working. Okay, so you need to flood your body with nutrition and get the toxins out. And the jade greens, okay, you know, are, given that you're all so lazy, we are all so lazy, okay? If you can do half of it, you need a green drink, and then you need the carrot and all those others, the carrot and broccoli and all those other juices, okay? You need that. Or food, raw food, okay? It just, like, cuts the work in half. Plus, the quality. It's the quality of the barley. The caretaking of the barley in the field, in the processing, that Mekong has to offer people. So it's not the case if you've got a joint problem, take this pill. You've got a belly problem, take this pill. You need to flood your body with nutrition, non-toxic nutrition. Love you guys.
Thanks.
Nobody
have
could
have. Have a great day, everybody.
Okay, see ya.
Thank you, Joan.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nancy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
You too.